Hello and welcome to the Lost World of Short Stories. I am your host, Lauren Tate, and this is Feature Friday. And you ask, Lauren, what is Feature Friday? What are you talking about? Well, if you didn't tune in to the first episode, Self-Love is Not a Phase, where I read my poem titled Self-Love is Not a Phase from my book Fragments of a Full Memory, and then I talked about this very day in wonderful detail. If you didn't catch all of that, pause this video, listen to the first episode, and then come back. But to put it plainly, Feature Friday is the day where Black women read Black women's literature, topped with a wonderful interview by a self-published Black woman like myself. The Lost World of Short Stories is all about collaboration within the Black community that ties together sisterhood and literature, two of my favorite things. And because Feature Fridays are to showcase others and their work and their experiences, I'm going to shut up and come back later on in the show. I hope you enjoyed today's features.
Imagine the Rain by Tamara Charles. Read by Jelena Phillips. Imagine the rain, God's teardrops falling from heaven, a bittersweet rendition of love and disappointment, intermingled with vexation and grace, frustration and mercy, dissatisfaction and hope. Sprinkled with unmerited favor, I watch the rain drip drop, splashing against my window, washing away what was, leaving only the residue of love. I imagine God needs to cry sometimes, like a father weeping for a lost child. He rains from heavenly places, allowing us, his creation, to be touched, refreshed, revived, and made anew. I watch the rain come down, purposely watering the earth, granting opportunity for new life to emerge, assuring the liberty of vitality to emanate, giving second chances to sun-beaten existences, giving hope to wind-burned entities, building up what was thought to be irrevocable, encouraging growth where stagnation had taken over, showering down invocation, the floodgates are open. I imagine the rain. Aspiring Astronaut by Nyasha Bryant. Read by Jelena Phillips. We sit grounded, fighting, hurting, lying. Is this what we were destined to be? I think not. We are free. We explore land and sea and so much more. Our destiny lies in a place few have ever seen, though many have dreamed. It is the heavens above. We are destined to be, so there we must go, because we are free. Number 2. Above. Traveling, we did not know such beauty abounded in the glorious infinity crowned upon our heads. Our destiny lies before us. The blood of wanderers passes through our veins. Land and sea we now know. What else is there to explore but the infinite field of stars ready for us to seek? Calling out for us to greet impossible wonders right above the sea. Number 3. Blessings for the past and the future. On our knees, eyes upturned, we plead for the Heavenly Father above to bless our way and our paths, to bless the ones we leave past. Amen and amen.
No Secret by Kezia Snipe. Read by Nefertiti Blakely. She preferred whiskey over beer because it worked faster. This, at least, was the story told to me by her pastor. Fully aware of parish vices and devices, lamented over the struggle to encourage turning to Christ in crisis. But self-medicating is just what life is, suppressing the pressure to be better and face what eats at us. and to cowardly boast in silent bravado, all the while hoping those we interact with don't have rose-colored glasses that are broken. I'm no token. Most people around me have spoken in circles around not judging others to some degree. But how can we declare that honestly when we are hardwired for comparison and jealousy? Even those of us with the purest hearts and the most honest intentions have side-eyed a stranger whose name we didn't know, whose shoes we haven't walked in, whose story we haven't been told. Not to mention myself. I had to catch myself, check myself, as I watched her life be put on the shelf on display, instead of making assumptions of what she should be doing better. Would I be able to stand still in the same glass display case? Like if I were to say, it is no secret that I am overweight. Fat, heavy, obese, big boned. I once called myself the elephant in the room. They thought it was a play on words. I knew it was a play on truth. Life's weights took the form of weight. I started picking up pounds when I was 8. My grades started to slip, but lunch was aced. Broke fast, lunched, supped, stuffed my face with insecurities, abandonment, loneliness, lack of acceptance. Unknowingly reckless with my blessing, this life, this body, and it haunts me. Not just as my nutritional mistakes drape from my frame, cellulite straddled with sorrow, heavy breathing laden with regret, but it taunts me, has me second-guessing seconds, cautious about indentations on couch cushions, glares at chairs in hopes that I can fit, self-conscious about stairs that don't even exist. I hate going shopping because it reminds me of where I promised myself I wouldn't go. A place called That Big. Whispers of fitness advice from perfect strangers boom like 808s trained my face and the peaks of my smile to behave as wavelengths at least 3 decibels higher, but not nearly as loud as the scream inside her that just wants to leap out. Do you know how much I hate flying? And do you know how often I have to? I could easily blame society, make my bed of pity in between the sheets of a magazine spread, but not before I address what's in me. So instead of demonizing the width of an airplane seat, grumbling frustrations at plus-size sections in department stores, or despising the stride of my hips and thighs as I walk down North Charles Street, the question becomes, why is it every time I'm stressed, emotional, lonely, or feeling like I need to be rewarded, I eat? It's deep. Just like that lady who's drinking for peace and sleep. She cannot be convinced she doesn't need it. Why fix what isn't broke is something like a creed to her. Crazy how what she tried soon became a need to her. When I look in the mirror, the person that I see is her. How am I any different? How am I any better? How come I'm trying to get it while something in her won't let her? I pray for her in my letters to God. Help her get better. Give her the courage and strength to do what she needs for herself. And in your funny way, help her see the beauty of the battle is just as beautiful as a sunset at sea, settling like the water in her eyes every time she speaks. And God, as you're blessing her, please help me.
I hope you guys enjoyed those poems. I know I did. One thing I enjoyed about Aspiring Astronaut is the fact that it touches on achieving your destiny, right? Finding your purpose and striving to be better as an entity and as a family, or a community, right? Having your past define you as one thing, but sort of molding the past into something that you can bring into your future instead of you being, bound by your past or hunted by it, right? You're a piece from your past that's helping you achieve a certain kind of impossibility. And my favorite line from that poem is, "Our destiny lies before us. The blood of our wanderers passes through our veins." I love that so much because it's such a strong line. And then Imagine the Rain, which is really nice. It's kind of a simple poem, like Aspiring Astronaut, but they touch on big topics that are kind of bigger than us. And so in Imagine the Rain, this notion that rain is cleansing and representative of the new, which I think most of us, right, can relate to, that water, rain is a symbol of a new beginning, a new coming. And I love when she says, granting opportunity for new life to emerge, right? Because how many of us have ever wanted or needed a second chance or more, let's be honest. And then we do and we get it and we're so hopeful and we're making adjustments to get it right and to get it right. And I think life is just about being willing to try and to put yourself out there and to know that, we're all gonna make mistakes and we're all gonna fail, surely. But it's about what you're doing with that. And I like the faith and the relationship with God, that's kind of in this poem, at least that's how I took it. Because, right, God is the creator of the rain, He brings the rain, and He offers that new beginning, for us. If you are a Christian, if you do believe, in God, but I love that, and there's so many chances that God specifically has given me, so I am just continuously thankful for that, and the second chances that He will give me. But I love that it's talked about in this poem, and just like imagine the rain, imagine the new comings, and imagine the new opportunities that you can have after you have been through frustration and failures, and just our issues and our problems, big and small. But look where God can take you. So I love that. And lastly, No Secret, read by Nefertiti Blakely. And I bring her up because I absolutely adore the way she read this poem. And it's one of my favorites. I played it over a few times, but body image is one of my favorite topics because as girls, as women, we grow up to be in this to be this conscious being, right? But not of what we love about ourselves, but the negative things, the insecurities, the things people judge us for, automatically being put in a box that we are trying to fit in. And that's what many of us are taught by society, by our culture, our families even. And I think when the poem says, what does it say? Even those of us with the purest hearts and the most honest intentions have side-eyed a stranger whose name we didn't know, whose shoes we haven't walked in, whose story we haven't been told, right? We've all been guilty of that. We've all done that at some point. But by checking ourselves first, talking about it, and listening to people, not while planning a comeback or a point or even trying to give somebody advice, but to listen, like to honestly listen and to actually hear what they're saying, how they're feeling, that's what matters. I mean, people just want to be heard. We can't be heard everywhere. We're not going to be heard in every crack and crevice, but where you can be heard, where that platform offers you, whether you create it yourself or you're building it with somebody else, people just want to be heard. And speaking of people's stories that deserve to be heard, I had the wonderful opportunity to talk with the self-published author Geneva Lalonde, who is an author of a book in the genre of horror titled Tainted with Evil, which absolutely fascinated me. I remember my dad, he was asking me, he was like, "Oh my God, why are you interviewing
Someone who wrote horror, like it's scary, it's frightening, like no. And I think of us being Christians as well. It's like we don't really watch horror films or horror movies like that, but I love the genre, and the writing of the genre specifically, because people just it's so creative, and people the reason why they write horror is it's various reasons why. And so I wanted to offer a platform for her so that she can not only discuss with me, but discuss with you guys, or have you guys listen to it, about how she came to writing this book, because the story is absolutely fascinating, and it's so intriguing, and just in a way of just keep going, make, like I said, make your story heard. And that's what Geneva Alone is doing. So I had the chance to talk with her and hear her story, and I think you guys will enjoy it too. All right.
How are you?
Good, how are you?
I'm good, good.
I'm excited.
Oh my God.
Are you nervous?
Not yet.
Okay, good. Okay, so happy that you're here.
Where else would I be?
That's real. It's real. That's me every time.
I stay
Introvert
home.
life, right?
Right. I stay home by choice. Like I like who I like, but I hate everybody else.
There you go. That's what I'm saying. A real introvert who understands, because
Right.
I'd be like, no, our safe places are kind of everything to us. Why would we go outside of them? I don't understand.
Yeah, exactly. Like, give me another reason to not like you. I will gladly avoid you.
Exactly. Okay, so Geneva, is that how you pronounce it?
Yes. Yes.
Lalone?
Yes.
Oh, okay, Geneva Lalone, everybody.
Yes. Hello.
She, yes, right. She wrote a book titled Tainted with Evil.
Yes.
What is it about? Can you tell us?
I have to go to this question. Basically, Tainted with Evil is about a young woman who is named Ellie. She is relentlessly tormented by a dark force, not only psychologically but physically as well. She suffers from terrible migraines, nightmares, night terrors, whatever you want to call them, and blackouts that last for days at a time. Every visit to the hospital ends the same. Doctor's like, "There's nothing wrong with you. We can't find anything. No tumors. Nothing in the family history. So like, it's basically all in your head." as time goes on, her condition worsens, and she becomes a threat to everybody around her, including her friends. So, and she also develops unnatural abilities. And a thirst for violence.
Oh.
So, and she fights against the dark force, but she's slowly losing the battle to preserve her sanity and her soul.
Dang, she's struggling.
Oh, yeah.
I'm here for it. This whole journey, it's so turmoil. She's just trying to make it.
Right.
How did you come up with the idea of creating the character of Ellie and her journey?
Basically, she's like a dark personality that manifested within me, so it's not just something I just automatically thought of, because I'm very
Okay.
creative. So like something just pops into my head, or it's very random how my brain works. Like I don't even know half the time.
Yeah, I
But
agree.
she
That's me.
but she
Yeah.
basically she made herself a part of who I am, like on a daily basis now. Like she first came to me, and when I was going through my divorce, I got married
Okay.
really young. I was married at 17 for 6 years.
Wow.
And we had moved to Washington State because he was military. And
Okay.
he was active duty and couldn't find a job here in Detroit. So he went, I'm sorry, he was, what do you call it? What's the word? Brain fart right now.
I know.
It's not active duty. What do you like when you go like 1 weekend a month?
Oh, I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, and somebody's going to be listening to this and like, oh, I know what they're talking about, but I can't even think of it either.
National Guard.
Oh, yes. Okay. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. And he went active duty for that. And then he got stationed out in Washington State. And this was like in the middle of our marriage. So this is like the 3-year point.
Oh, wow.
And when we moved to Washington State, things got worse between me and him because we were in a whole new place and I was still figuring out who I was. And And he was not on this journey with me. Unfortunately, he wanted me to fit into this little box of like being a housewife and having everything prepared.
His expectations of you.
Yeah, there was basically none, or like it was very small. Like, this is how I want you to be. He didn't verbalize that, but I felt it. Like, this
for
is
sure in the actions. Yeah.
Yeah, and this is, you shouldn't venture outside of this box. I'm like, I'm a wild soul and I don't like this.
Right.
So things started to get worse. Wow. And yeah, as when our divorce date was coming up, I was going through depression basically. And it only got worse when we finally ended it and I came back home to live with my mom. But during the healing process, after getting divorced and getting myself together, I would hear her voice basically. Ellie is just her human name. That's
right. Yeah. Yeah.
So, she would give me in her very special way, words of wisdom. And she helped me through and get my head back on straight. But the pain that I went through and the depression I went through after my divorce is what led me to using that pain and turning it into an art form.
Wow. Yeah. That's powerful. Glad we definitely just started out with that quote. That was, yes. She was like your lifeline.
Pretty much. Yeah. Yeah. And she just gets her, like, she gets stronger every day. Like, even now I'm still learning about her.
Yeah. That's amazing. Just to connect. And I love to hear about the connection that artists have with their characters and their work, because I think from the outside, people, just think that sometimes they're just on the page and, you know, it's just a creation and then we move on, but they're a part of us. Mm. And I love that she's like living and breathing for you like that. That's amazing. Wow.
Yeah. She first came to me in like, I think it was like 2008.
Yeah.
And then 2011 is when she became more like, cause I started like drawing how I felt she looked like. Mm-hmm. And then after a few years, she became stronger and like became basically one with me.
Wow.
Yeah.
I love that.
Yeah. She's my dark personality.
Yeah. And we all have one. I mean, let's just be real.
I thrive on it. Yeah. I do not hide it.
Yeah. I like that because you're like, yeah, here I am and I'm embracing it.
Exactly.
And I think coming out of like a situation that you said, like out of that divorce and having to heal, like, why wouldn't you want to embrace that? You know what I'm saying? Yeah, and that's exactly. So powerful too, just as a Black woman, right? Because Ellie helped you find your voice.
Right.
Would you say? Yeah.
Yeah.
So, I mean, and that's something that definitely that's suppressed and oppressed that we have not only as Black people, but like I said, as Black women. And so the fact that you've been able to come out of that and then just be like, no, this is me, like all of me, not just the good parts, but the evil, the crazy.
Yeah.
And I'm not apologizing for it.
It's all me. Yeah. She's definitely a good defense mechanism against people who mistake my kindness for weakness.
Right.
People back off real quick when you get hints on.
They're like, well, never mind.
Yeah, they back off real quick when you give hints on how much pain the body can handle.
What exactly? Was this your? This isn't on the questions, but was this your first book that you've written?
Yeah, my first official book.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. And you self-published it, correct?
Yes.
Yeah, I love that. Were you always a horror fan? Like, what made you get into horror? Like, was it just Ellie, or were you just, you know?
Technically, yes, I've always been into horror. It's just like, it was just who I am. Like, it was something I was interested in. Like, I've never really liked girly things or fairy tales and fairies and
princesses and pink. And I get you.
I hated Barbie as a kid. I really did.
I kind of ran mine over. Like, they were fun, but then they weren't. So.
Right. My doll as a kid was Godzilla.
Love it. I love it.
Yes. Yeah.
Wow. What are your favorite things like about the horror genre?
Some of my favorite things would be the endless creativity that you have on like just figuring out what gets under people's skin, what makes them uncomfortable, and just working with that.
I love that.
Yeah.
People need to be uncomfortable. Let's just state that.
Yeah. There's a phrase that goes, art is to comfort the disturbed and disturb the comfortable.
Yeah, I saw that quote. I love that. And people are like, what? And then they're like, that actually kind of makes sense.
Yeah.
I'm like, mm-hmm, I agree. That, yeah, wow, I absolutely agree with that. Okay, so it's kind of like a big topic on the thing, but I put it on there. Can you talk a little bit about how it feels to be a Black woman who writes horror? Because like I was saying, because of our community, we are just, you know, we are just now breaking into that genre, you know, with Jordan Peele and everybody just telling different stories, even though he's a Black man, but he's still Black.
Yeah, he's got telling darker our stories.
Skin. Yeah, right. What is visibility in that genre look like to you? Or like, what would you want to see more of? Like, just, can you share
something? As far as like just being a Black horror writer for me personally, it's been challenging. Because like within my own family, not a lot of people have been truly accepting or supportive of what I've been doing. Because it's witchcraft. Oh, that's devil worship.
No,
it's not. It's not. How about you try to understand it before you judge things?
Yeah, okay? For sure.
But when people tell you no or show disinterest, it makes it the journey. Not only it makes it challenging, yes, but it also it makes the end game that much more fulfilling because you did it all yourself. Like you may have asked for help, but in the end you did it all yourself.
It's like basically you're the reason why you're still standing.
Exactly. But you just don't have you need to set that fear aside of being judged because of what you like. Just get that out of your mind, because if that's how you're gonna live, you're not gonna live at all.
I agree. That's such a powerful thing too for women, just to know, because like you were telling in your story, even with partners and without partners, like the world and societal standards of us, expectations of us, you know, they automatically put us in a box, and like these guidelines of how they want us to be and what to say and what to create, you know, if we're even allowed, you know, quotation marks, to create, and to be able to, like you said, to be able to let go of that fear and step outside of that box and be like, no, I think I'm going to do it this way because it's what I'm doing for myself. Like, it's not about you, you know, so I'm saying, so that's really important, I think, for not only, you know, women to get, but, you know, everybody to understand, and to really embrace. So I'm really glad that you shared that.
Yeah, because I'm not the kind of person who wants to work regular 9-to-5 for 20 years. Just
who are you telling? That's what I'm saying.
I'm not trying to enjoy my life
behind
when I'm old.
Some office, like, no shade to corporate people, but you know, a lot of us, that's just not what we need to be doing, especially for Black people. I feel like most of us are supposed to be meant to be entrepreneurs and writers and creators, because we just have a lot to say and get out.
Right.
Yeah. So I think we talked about that. What does it mean? Or like that. Do you what was I trying to say? Hold on. Do you have any favorite horror authors or shows or like comics that you pull from that you like to tune in, read, watch?
I'm I wouldn't say like a huge fan, but I do enjoy the whole production team of the Blumhouse Productions.
Who make looked at
Insidious.
That.
Yeah, they make Insidious, like Oculus. They also worked with Jordan Peele for Get Out.
His
movie. The Belko Experiment was really good. Yeah, they also worked on Split, because I really like that movie because it caters to all of my personalities.
I love that.
It lets me be who I am. It's just that movie you can relate when you have like all these voices in your head.
Exactly.
Another reason I really like this production company, Blumhouse is they're working on a new project. I mean, I'm pretty sure they're working on several, but one particular is called Five Nights at Freddy's. It's a video game series by a man named Scott Cawthon. Mm-hmm. And the story is very dark and it's grim and very sad as well, because the idea came from a pizzeria, like, you know, Chuck E. Cheese animatronics and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. There was a guy in the series, the video game series and the book series, who would lure children wearing one of the animatronic suits, and he would murder them and stuff their bodies into the animatronic suits.
What?
Yeah. Eventually the souls of the kids possessed the animatronics. And this guy who killed them played the night guard, so he can get access to of the layout of the building and just access to certain things, mm-hmm. so he can do these things.
Right.
But eventually, like I said, the animatronics, they had the souls of the kids in them, and they would come to find the night guard to seek revenge on him.
Wow.
So that's a movie that they're working on.
That is a tangled web.
Yes, it's very, very dark and very sad, but it's a very, very good series. And they said that they're starting production on it next year.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah, I was obsessed with the story before I even started playing the game.
Right. You're like, no, I've been ready.
Right. Like, I'm ready for this. Oh, my God.
That is fascinating. See, because I dabble in horror, but like, I need my horror to be with other genres so I can watch it. So that's why I was so excited to talk to you, because you're just full on horror and you're like really into it. And I, you know, it's just nice to hear from other people, because I, you know, I just don't be judging. I'm like, I want to learn. And there's so many different reasons, just like as you stated before, that people write horror and that they get into it. And like, they are sad and scary and stuff, but they have a purpose. Their stories have a purpose. And it kind of, in a way, expands society, because like you said before, you know, it does make people uncomfortable. And I like to be uncomfortable in certain things. You're like, oh, never been in that space. Like, what? Right. How do I navigate that?
Yeah. Like, how would you react?
Right. Yeah. Exactly. We're kind of always asking our questions, even though we don't, you know, ask them necessarily out loud. But when we're in interactions with other people's work and shows and stuff like that, you know, we ask ourselves those questions, you know, and it's like, okay, let me look at that again. Let me.
Right. Yeah. I like mixing up my horror with not only like just dark and the thriller and just being excited, but also a little comedy too.
Yeah,
I got a couple of jokes in my book. Yeah.
I love that. I love dark humor. So,
yeah, I'm full of that.
I'm more on that side than like the actual mainstream comedy. Like dark humor is just great. I'm like, I actually laugh at that. Like, yes, people are like, what's wrong with you? I'm like, it's okay, it's fine. Yeah.
Don't worry, it's right. You would be very uncomfortable if I said these words.
Exactly. What do you think about like the black people that are in the horror genre right now, and they're writing the stories about you know, race and certain things like that? Because, you know, as black people, we have a lot of just horrific history, and even now, right? I mean, 2020, hello. even though people will be reading this in 2021, but it's not easily forgotten, just everything we've been through this year. And so these stories that people are pulling out based on, you know, our experiences and our pain and our repressed anger that we've had into the horror genre, and just creating a whole new thing for people who look like us. How do you feel about that?
I think it's a really good thing. Like, we're actually busting out of our comfort zone and making the people who oppressed us uncomfortable, like they made us. So it's our turn.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
It's very good. It's a very big, really big step forward.
Yeah. And I think it sheds a hard light on that, like you said, on the people who have oppressed us, because they're like, ooh, look what you've been doing. Look what you're up
to. Right. Like, we are more than our physical bodies.
Yes. More than the skin that people are so focused on. And, you know, it's like, even if you are focused on, it's glorious. It's not ugly. It's not, you know, to be cast out. Like, it's such a thing to be honored. And, you know, when we ourselves realize that as a community, as we're coming to really understand the power that we have, you know, when we bring that to our talents and our gifts, you know, that each of us have uniquely, it's a very beautiful thing. So I'm here for it. It's like, you gotta push through that pain, take the pain with you so it can actually have a purpose.
Yeah, use it.
Yeah, exactly. Let's use it, exactly. What would you like to see more in the horror genre, just in general, or in the Black community, either one, both?
Specifically, I would like directors to not make the characters do stupid things.
There we go. Let's start there.
Like, you can make all the right decisions and still get murdered. Can we?
Yes. We be the smartest ones, isn't it?
Right. And please stop making us the ones who die first. Right. Why is that?
Why is Betty still alive and Shannon right. dead? Like, I don't.
Right. Big booby Betty over here. Like, why does she get to live?
Exactly. How did she make it?
Right.
Yeah. And that just goes to show too, because I think I was reading some article some time ago. They were just like, you know, we have to build platforms for us where we're at the top, where we're directing, where we're casting, you know, people who look like us so that we can be in the rooms where we make decisions. And right. I'm at a point where it's not even like, I mean, yes, get into the room, but let's just create our own room. Like,
exactly. Like, when stop asking the white man for help and do it yourself. Because they're going to do the bare minimum. If
right. And we're in that, we're in the, you know, digital age, right? Where we can right. have these conversations, make our own podcasts, share our own work. And I think that's just really great, because it's like, we don't have to take the usual path that people have just, they haven't even carved out for us. They were just like, here's some scraps, see what you can right. make with that. And we're like, right. you know what? I'm going to make a whole palace out of this. Yeah, and some more.
I think that's where Chitlins came from. They gave us the scraps and we just made it.
Yeah, exactly. We're known for making something out of nothing. So
exactly.
It's like, okay, I'm gonna show you what I can do with it.
Right.
What other projects do you want to do? Like, or do you have dream people that you want to collaborate with? Like, what does that look like for you in the future?
I don't have specific people I want to work with, because okay. I don't really care about celebrities.
That's like, I agree. Okay.
But my dream is to not only publish more books of the series, mm-hmm. But to turn the first book into a web series where I will obviously Ooh. Play the main character, because nobody Ooh. Else can do that.
Right.
Yeah, so I just got to get this so body. Well. I got to get this body in shape.
Right.
Because I'm not beautiful. Well, thank you, but I don't need the camera to add to that.
Camera do be adding stuff.
It really does. Yeah. I've seen it. I did some stuff in college. I'm like, why did I do this? Why didn't I wear a looser shirt? So, but yeah, I want to turn it into a web series.
That'd be so fun.
And I also would like to turn, like, because I told you I had like multiple personalities. I want to do yeah. like a cartoon or some sort of animated series with my personalities interacting with each other and how they go about their daily life. Mm. Kind of like The Simpsons. Like, what kind of Avengers can we get into?
Yeah.
What kind of shenanigans? Wait,
that would be so cool. I think too, like, I don't even know like if that's, I mean, I think you kind of touched even on what Ellie like was for you too. Well, you touched on it a lot, but like, just that just had me thinking, like, because I was just telling somebody else that I think as not only as just people, but in specifically in the Black community, we need to have more conversations about mental health. Right. And I think talking about even mental health in the horror genre would even be dope, because like the mental health, especially when you're not doing well, is like horrific times. You know what I'm saying? Like, you're really yeah. going through some destructive things, and then to come out of that and heal through that painful process, like just that collaboration. Like, if somebody did something like that, that'd be really nice. Right. I need to collaborate with you.
Right. There's way too many people who are just dismissive on mental health issues. Like, yes. Oh, it's just all in your head. You'll get over it. I'm like,
exactly. Pull yourself really? Up by your bootstraps, push it under the rug, like all like, those.
No, sometimes we actually need someone to talk to, not a therapist, but exactly. just someone who we can relate to, or just get out our frustrations.
Exactly.
Because bottling it up does not help at all.
Oh, yeah. Because I've been there, and it's just been, they're like, what's wrong with you? I'm like, 2 years of holding it in. That's what's wrong.
try eight. I've been struggling since my divorce.
Right. Oh, God. Oh my gosh. Yeah. And then what was I about to say? Yeah, I mean, and just I just feel like as artists, if we can open up more spaces to have conversations through, you know, our writing, through our drawings, you know, through songs, to, you know, some mental health up in there.
Right.
That'd be great, because when people come across it, you know, that's the first thing. I mean, as many people love to say that, you know, why do you want to become a writer? Why do you want to sing? Why do you, I'm pretty, you know, we all get that at least from one person, if yeah, not like, more.
Why do we want to do anything?
Yeah. And I'm like, okay, so you wasn't watching that show last night. You weren't listening to that song in the car. Like, that's all right. The stuff we do.
Exactly. Like I want to be on the other end.
What about you?
Yeah, I want to be on the other end. Right. I don't want to entertain you, but I want to entertain.
Right. Give you some knowledge, help you out.
Exactly. It definitely helps to write, or for me, since I'm an artist, I can draw. It helps drawing
you
out.
You can. Okay.
Ma'am. Yep.
Yes.
Yeah. Writing and drawing, it definitely helps get out that frustration, all that negative energy.
I love that.
Because I've drawn some very dark things.
Yeah.
Including pictures where there's a knife going through things.
I see it. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. That's real. And that's helpful that you have a way to express yourself. I mean, I think that's beautiful that you've gotten in touch with that. Encourage artists to do that.
Right. Even if you can't write or draw, like just write it like in your diary or journal. Just put it in your notes.
Journaling is so powerful. Yeah.
Just get it out.
Seriously, yeah, because it's really a manifestation. Like, you just don't want that inside of you. You know what I mean?
Right, exactly.
I absolutely agree. What was I about to say? Oh, okay, so coming towards the end, where is your book published? Where can everybody find your book, Tainted with Evil?
My book is located in my Etsy shop. Etsy, Etsy.com/shop/twisted and sadistic. Make sure you spell out the and.
I love that. And I'm going to put that in the bio too when I have it up. I'm glad you said that because, well, I mean, I asked you to share, but I didn't even know you could put books in the Etsy. I was just cracking a joke at my dad, like, ha, you can't do that.
Yes, you can.
I did not know that. That's sweet. Okay.
Yes, ma'am.
Yes. Okay. Thank you for sharing that. And What are three things you would tell Black women writers, and even specifically those who want to write horror?
Just do it. There may be people, like I said, who don't support you. People who will tell you no. It'll make you appreciate doing things on your own because you don't owe anybody anything. This is all you. This is your baby.
Yep.
Two, it does help to do some research, specifically in the horror genre or like any films, like look up what you want to do just to make sure that you're not copying somebody unintentionally.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That makes sense. And it's also fun. Like just research, and you're watching movies and TV shows and you're reading. That's fun.
That's my favorite part.
Right. Third, take your time, because you cannot rush art or writing or anything like that. It's good to set goals, but do not rush yourself, because you sacrifice the quality when you rush yourself.
I think within that, it's just being kind to yourself too.
Oh yeah,
you know, when you set those things, because a lot of people are like, I didn't make it here, I failed, it's over.
Let's take a breath. Another date. Set another date or make the goal smaller.
Mm-hmm. I love that. Steps. Readjusting.
Yeah. Baby steps are still steps.
Yeah. I love that. I agree. Yeah. I absolutely agree. Thank you so much for having this conversation.
No problem.
I think
a lot of
people are going to benefit from it.
I hope so.
I benefited from it. I'm like, yes, this has really warmed my soul. Like, thank you, Geneva.
No problem. I bit my tongue as best I could.
You did so great.
I know. I don't think, did I say any cuss words at all?
No, you didn't. I was like, two or three maybe we're gonna have, and I was like, all right.
Oh man, I should start working in a daycare. I'm good for children now.
Bring your children, people. Bring your children.
Oh no, that's not a good idea.
No. I know, that is me. That is literally me too. Like, let's not.
Right.
Yeah. So thank you, and I will shout you out and send you the link when it's updated. So everybody listening to this now, thank you for listening.
Big preach.
Bye.
Take care.
You too.
If you are still here, thank you for listening. I hope you enjoyed today's Friday features. Preacher Fridays, as I like to call it. I want to ask you guys, what was your favorite part of the episode? The poems, the interview, both? And why was it your favorite? Let me know in the comments, or send me a message on my Instagram or Facebook at Lauren Tate Books, or, you know, make a post and tag me in it. I love that too. Don't forget to subscribe, add to your favorites, never be afraid to comment and share, because I don't want you or anyone else to miss the episode we got coming on Wednesday. And until next time, you are important, you are loved, and your story is worth being told. Hello and welcome to the Lost World of Short Stories. I am your host, Lauren Tate, and happy Wednesday. Before I introduce the piece I'll be reading today, last Friday, which was the first feature Friday episode titled Set Your Fears Aside, I wanted to apologize for the two names that were mispronounced. I didn't ask for the correct spelling of the names, not the correct spelling, but how the correct pronunciation of the name, sorry, from the writers. And one of the writers kindly emailed me about it, that she loved the episode, but her name was mispronounced and we can't have that. So I want everyone on this platform to be correctly represented, their names, their work. Even though everyone didn't have this problem, I am going to reiterate the writers and the voice actors that featured on Friday. So the pieces that were featured on Friday were Aspiring Astronaut, written by Niasha Bryant, voiced by Jelena Phillips. Imagine the Rain, written by Tamara Charles, voiced by Jelena Phillips. And No Secret, written by Kezia Snipe, voiced by Nefertiti Blakely. Okay, so now that we know that, we know it, we heard it, it is documented. And as we move forward, all of my new and old voice actors will have the correct pronunciation of the writers' names. So there will be no mistakes in terms of that. And I thank you to Niasha who emailed me and let me know. Okay, so now that that's settled, I'm sharing with you guys another poem from my book titled Fragments of a Full Memory, which is available as an ebook and a paperback on Amazon right now. If this is your first time tuning in, I talk about Fragments of a Full Memory and the very first episode of this podcast called Self-Love is Not a Phase, which is the same title as the poem I read. It's one of my favorite poems from the book. So if you want to know more about the book, pause this video and go listen to that. And if you want to listen to some more Black women reading their literature work, right, because that's what this whole beautiful podcast is about, not just my work, but community, collaboration, sisterhood, literature. So if you want to listen to more Black women reading their work, tune into Friday's episode that just passed, titled Set Your Fears Aside, and stay tuned for the upcoming Feature Friday episode this week, January 22nd. For you guys who have purchased Fragments of a Full Memory and who will be purchasing, you can review the book at laurentatebooks.com. I'm really proud of my website. I like it. It's a form on there. You go to testimonials where you can read people who have you can look at it for people who have read the book and listened to the podcast. It's reviews for both. And then you can go to review and submit your own review. And it comes to my email and then I post it, which is really nice. Okay, I think I got everything. Did I get everything? Yes. Okay. So today is where I share a literature nugget, as I like to call it, which is a very small piece of literature. And the poem I'll be reading today is from Fragments of a Full Memory is untitled. The poem is untitled. I want to talk about this because there are many poems in the book that are untitled, and it is intentional. One fact about me is I like to move and create with intention. What does that mean? Everything has a place. Everything has a purpose. We don't just do things to do things over here. I actually deeply care about what I create and how I create it. Because there are untitled poems in the book, I also don't have a table of contents. Now, I know people are asking, though it is intentional, why not just title the poem? Well, because emotions and feelings, to put it plainly, like, because when I wrote this book, I was all out of sorts about relationships and school, myself, my writing. This book took a lot out of me to write, and it took a lot out of me to share with you guys. Took a lot. And I believe that everything I went through didn't have a name. It was familiar and universal, but I couldn't give it a specific name. I think the world we live in, everything has to have a label and it has to be claimed. But in this book, I just want to create a freedom to not slap a label on everything. In many poems, I was feeling so much, I barely got the words on the page, and I didn't feel like it needed a name or a label. I didn't want my vulnerability to be packaged under a nice title and exactly, you can find it exactly where it is in the contents. I didn't want any of that. And so the format speaks to those uncertainties of my 20-year-old self. My emotions and my struggles weren't nicely formatted, right? They were scattered everywhere. All that being said, I am going to read this poem and then come back to you in a little bit about how I came to write it and where my mind was then. Okay.